Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So as most of you know, we are actually in the middle of a series. So if you were not here, we've done two parts on who is the Holy Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And in the first two parts, we covered really who the Holy Spirit is to us, what he does when he comes and dwells inside of us. Last week, we had a very special service, Olivia's testimony. How many of you enjoyed that? Amen. It was really powerful. Again, very thankful to the Fleming family for sharing that amazing testimony with us. You know, for the first two parts of this series, I really tried very hard to show you the importance, the role of the Holy Spirit in your life. That Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit would become a comforter to us. He would become a friend to us. And, you know, we got to see in part one and part two how the Holy Spirit comes and dwells on the inside of us, not only to be a friend and to be a comforter and to be a help to us, but also to actually change us. We have a nature that's not so good. At least most of us do. But the Holy Spirit comes in us, and inside of us, he begins to change us. He begins to transform us. The secret is, though, to make a decision to be led by the Spirit. The Bible tells us that those who are led by the Spirit are not under the law. In other words, they are led by the Holy Spirit, and it's not the law that causes them to change, but it's the Spirit of God that changes us. In the Old Testament, they could only dream of what you and I have available to us. They were not even allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. You have the Holy of Holies inside you. I think that is so incredible to know that the presence of God, the Spirit of God, actually dwells on the inside of us and causes us to be transformed, causes us to be changed. But the secret, the key, is to allow him to lead us. You know, if we do it our own way, if we try and change things that God's word says, and we try and do our own ideas and our own thoughts and our own plans, we won't see the leading of the Spirit into total transformation. So God wants to do a work on the inside of you. He wants to be a friend to you. But there's actually more to it than just that. In fact, when we look at the story of Jesus, the life of Jesus, Jesus came and he began to teach and preach. And everywhere he went, the Bible tells us that he preached the gospel of the kingdom. In fact, the Bible says he went about all Galilee teaching and preaching on the gospel of the kingdom. And people's lives were transformed. And the reason why their lives were transformed was because the kingdom of God was now present. This is incredible because Jesus was like God in the flesh on the earth, and the kingdom was manifest in him. In other words, everywhere that Jesus went, people got to see the nature, the heart of God in the life of Jesus. Not only did they get to see the nature and character of who God is, but they also got to see the works of God. Everywhere Jesus went, he would heal the sick. He would minister to the broken. He would heal the brokenhearted. People would get delivered. People would get set free. People that were in bondage, prostitutes and all kinds of tax collectors and people that they considered the scum of the earth came to Jesus, and their lives were completely transformed because the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven was present in the life of Jesus. So everywhere he went, that kingdom was manifest. The interesting thing about Jesus, though, is when you look at his life, he said the most profound things, but it was more what he did that produced change. When people would watch him and see as he spoke and as he began to do miracles, as he began to do the works of God, people's lives were transformed in the most incredible way. And the Bible actually tells us this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 20. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And this morning, I want to share with you, Yes, the Holy Spirit comes to do a work on the inside of you. Yes, the Holy Spirit comes to have relationship with you and intimacy with you and to be a friend to you. But He also comes to empower you. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to do a work in you, but also through you. And in the life of Jesus, we get to see the Spirit move powerfully through Him and manifest the kingdom of God on earth through the works that He did. Can you say amen? The Bible says in Luke 4 verse 14, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of Him went out through all the surrounding regions. He had this power everywhere He went. What power did He have? He had the power of the Spirit on His life and in His life. Acts 10:38 says it like this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The Bible tells us that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. And everywhere He went, He was doing good. People were being set free. Luke 6:19 says, and the whole multitude sought to touch Him, for power went out from Him. And He healed them all. In other words, where Jesus was, the kingdom was present. And people just wanted to grab a hold of Him, because when you touch Jesus, power came out of Him. Power came out of Jesus because the kingdom was present. He was a representation. He was God come in the flesh. And everything that was God was in Him. His nature, His character, but also His power. His power was present, and people would touch Him, people would listen to Him, people would be around Him, and they could not be the same anymore because He was present. The Bible says in Luke 5:17, now it happened on a certain day as He was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who came out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Jesus would set people free. Jesus would touch them with His love. But Jesus would also heal people with the power of God that was present in His life. Luke 24:49 says this. This is good news, because what Jesus wants you to know is that the same power that was manifest in His life will also be manifest in our lives. He said to His disciples, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. In other words, there would come a day that the disciples and the followers of Jesus would also have the same power that dwelled on the life of Jesus in their life. Jesus said, listen, He said, it is better for you that I go. It is better for you that I go, because I'm going to send the Helper. You see, He said, it's better for you that I go, because the same works that I do, you will do also. But the thing is that Jesus could only be in one place at one time. When the Spirit of God would come upon the people of God, they could go all over the earth, and the miracles and the works and the kingdom of God could be present wherever they went. Isn't that amazing? And so we see this in the life of Peter. In Acts 5 verse 15, it says, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. I want you to understand that this takes place when Jesus is back in heaven. And the only thing that Peter has is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit manifests in him and through him, that even when he would walk, his shadow would fall on the sick. And the same things that happened in the life of Jesus were busy happening in the life of Peter. Many people will say, well, you know, that's only in the life of the apostles that were with Jesus, the disciples. But there was an incredible character in Scripture, and his name was Paul. In fact, his name was first Saul. And then he has this encounter with God. Jesus comes and encounters him. And when he encounters him, his life is changed in the most miraculous way. And he gets completely saved and transformed and goes out and begins to spread the gospel in the most incredible way. His name was Paul, Paul the Apostle. But understand that Paul was not one of those that were taught by Jesus. Paul was not one of those who walked with him and stayed with him and traveled with him and ate with him. He didn't have that. He had an encounter afterwards. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 4, Paul came to a realization. He understood that what he needed to do to be an effective disciple of the Lord was to demonstrate God's power. He says, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." He understood that the only way that his testimony, the only way that his witness of Jesus could truly be effective, was if he produced and manifested the power of God everywhere he went. He understood that it wasn't wisdom, it wasn't intellectualism that would transform lives. He understood that the only thing that would bring true transformation would be the power of God. Is anybody out there this morning? He goes on in Romans 15, verse 18 to say this, "Yet I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me, bringing the Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I worked among them." I want you to see, it's more than just the message. It's the way he worked among them. They were convinced. What were they convinced by? They were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders, and by the power of God's Spirit. In this way, I have fully presented the good news of Christ from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum. So Paul is saying that when he went and he began to preach, he preached a complete gospel. He didn't just come and preach wisdom and intellectualism. He knew that the only way that he could really bring Christ across the way that he was to be able to bring the full message of the gospel, which is a message in power. Power had to be present. Without the power of God, there is no change. Without the power of God, there is no transformation. And Paul understood this. We've been talking about his presence in the life of every believer. And I'm so grateful that the presence of the Holy Spirit is in me. He lives in me. The Old Testament saints, they didn't have that. The day that that changed was when the veil was torn, when Jesus was crucified. And when he was on the cross and he came off the cross and he sent his Spirit to dwell inside each and every one of us. But there's more than just that. There's more than just him changing and transforming you. God wants to use you as well. His Spirit is not there just for your benefit. Thank you so much for your overwhelming excitement. The fact is, God wants us all to operate in his power. It's very interesting, because if you study scripture, you will find out that the method, the pattern that God uses is one throughout scripture. In fact, the way that God uses us today is very similar to the way that he did in the Old Testament. The only difference is there was a limitation. There were only certain individuals that were used, whereas now each and every one of us has the Spirit dwelling inside us. So the limitations have been removed. You see, in the Old Testament, what would happen was, the Bible tells us that there were certain individuals that God used to manifest his power. Kings and prophets and priests were individuals. And the Bible tells us this, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. You see, when David was anointed to become king of Israel, the Bible says that the prophet Samuel came and poured oil on his head and anointed him as king. And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. And when David got up, he was not the same anymore. He had been separated. He had been consecrated. Listen, from that moment, in the natural, He was just a shepherd, but he had been anointed as king. And the Bible tells us that he went to visit his brothers and take them some food. And when he got to the camp of Israel, there was this giant, this horrible giant, and his name was Goliath. And everybody was afraid of him. But you see, David had been separated. David had been anointed. The Spirit of God had come upon David. And when he looked at this Philistine, he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who dares defy the armies of the Lord?" And he gets upset because the Spirit of God is on him. The Bible came upon Gideon in the same way. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Aaron when the oil was poured on him and dripped down his beard. He was anointed by God to be used by God. So in the Old Testament, we see kings, priests, and prophets. And very, very seldom do we see the Spirit of the Lord come upon normal individuals like you and I. But when Jesus came, everything changed. You see, what was only for a few, he wanted to make available to everyone. You see, there was a restoration that needed to be taken place between man and God. Something that the enemy had stolen, which was who we were called to be from the beginning. But you must understand, we were not only called to have a different nature, we were also called to have dominion. We were also called to have power. We don't like to talk about this because it makes us uncomfortable, but it's the truth. So don't get mad at me. So we see throughout the Old Testament scripture, when someone is used by God, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon them. What's interesting is that there's no difference with Jesus. You see, up until Jesus was 30 years old, we know very little about his childhood. We know that he went up to the temple. We know a little bit about his birth, but we don't know much about how he was raised. We don't know if he cried like normal children. We don't know if he pooped like normal children. Come on, guys. Jesus, when he was on the earth as a baby, he probably pooped too, okay? So don't get upset. Don't be religious, okay? He was a baby. He had to grow. He had to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. He had to learn. He had to learn scripture. I don't think there's any doubt that his connection to God was something unbelievable. That's undeniable because he was the Son of God. But we see no supernatural evidence whatsoever until something takes place in his life. Let's go and take a look at what that is. You see, the same pattern that was through the Old Testament gets fulfilled in the life of Jesus. Let's go to Matthew 3, verse 13. Matthew 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me." But Jesus answered and said to him, look at this. Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and a lightning. Look at this. Upon him. Everybody say, upon him. David had the Spirit of God come upon him. Gideon had the Spirit of the Lord come upon him. I want you to know that Jesus' ministry did not start until the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And the Bible tells us that Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he came out of the wilderness, he was no longer Joseph's little boy. When he came out of the wilderness, he was no longer just the carpenter's son. When he came out of the wilderness, the Bible says that he came out in power. Let's read it. Let's go to Luke 4, verse 13. Luke 4, verse 13. Am I going too fast? Are you guys okay? Are you with me? Are you all with me? Okay. So I get very excited about this, you know. You know, God gives us this incredible gift, the Holy Spirit, for us, but also to use us. How can we even suggest it's not a good idea? Okay. Luke 4:13. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Now Jesus is coming out of the wilderness. And then Jesus returned. Look at this. In the power of the Spirit. Stop. How did he return? He returned in the power of the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord had come upon him. When he came out of the baptismal waters, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Like a dove, in the form of a dove, it came upon him. But before this, it wasn't like this in the life of Jesus. But at that moment, he was appointed. He was anointed. He was consecrated. He was chosen from that moment to go out. And the Bible says, in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And news of him went out through all the regions. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue. Watch how amazing this is. On the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Look at what it says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus opens the book. He opens the book at this place in the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why is the Spirit of the Lord upon him? Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now imagine this. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And as he sat down, the Bible says, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. So he's sitting down and he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, he was the one who was sent to open the blind eye. He was the one who was sent to bring deliverance and healing to the broken. He was the one who was sent to change lives. But it started when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he says it's fulfilled because he was about to do something on the earth that would change humanity forever if humanity chooses him. That's a big if. You see, God doesn't want you to only have a little bit of who he is. He wants you to embrace all of who he is. And so we see this in the life of Jesus. Jesus goes after this, we know, and he does miracles and he goes and lives change. And then he goes to the cross. And after the cross, the disciples scatter. The Bible pretty much tells us that they all deny him. But there's this one event that takes place where Jesus appears to them for the very first time. And it's so important that you see this morning. Jesus appears to all the disciples in John 20:19 after the resurrection. He's just risen. It says Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, watch this, receive the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about this for just a moment. understand that they had denied him. That they denied him. They didn't believe. They didn't believe he was who he said he was. You have to recognize that. And in this moment, he's standing in front of them and shows them his hands and shows them his side. And everything needs to be fulfilled in this moment. And in this moment, the disciples look at him and go, "It's you." And in that moment, they're going, "I believe." The Bible says that to be saved, you have to believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose again and is the Son of God. If you believe that, if you confess that with your mouth, you will be saved. The Bible teaches us that when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. You see, it started in that moment when they believed that Jesus blew on them and gave them the Holy Spirit. It was a fulfillment of what was to come in the life of every single believer thereafter, that the Holy Spirit would be passed from one to another. As soon as you believe, he comes inside you. And Jesus desperately wanted them to understand that this Holy Spirit would be there to comfort them, would be there to change them, to help them. But that was not the end of his discussion with them regarding the Spirit of God. You see, he knew that in order for them to be everything that they were called to be, they would have to embrace the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible tells us that he was gathered with them just before he went up to be with the Father. The Bible tells us in Acts 1, verse number 4, and being assembled together with them, understand they've received the Holy Spirit, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart for Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Let's stop there for a moment. He's saying to them, listen, you have to wait for the promise of the Father because the Holy Spirit is going to come. You will be baptized with him. But I thought they already had the Holy Spirit. They did have the Holy Spirit, but there was something more. And Jesus is busy telling them. He says, don't worry, not too many days from now, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, they're not thinking about what he's saying. They're not focusing on what he's saying. So they ask him a question in the middle of while he's talking. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority." And then he says, but, in other words, he's saying, but let's get back to what I was telling you about. Don't worry about it. It's not for you to know the times and seasons. God's got that under control. But I've just told you that not too many days from now, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And there's a reason for it. He says, but you shall receive power. You shall receive power. When will we receive this power? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You see, the power comes when he comes upon you. The power does not come when he comes in you. Yes, he lives in you. Yes, he begins to change you. Yes, he begins to lead you. But you have to get to a place where he comes upon you. And when he comes upon you, he empowers you. There's power when he comes upon you. Why is there power? Why do we need this power? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions this morning. Jesus answers the question. He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And the reason why, and you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. Why? Why do you need this power? Because the kingdom of God is not in word. The kingdom of God is in power. You see, your witness, your testimony without the power of God is nothing else but words. And words can kill. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. You see, we need the power to bring change and transformation. We need the power of God to bring healing and deliverance. without the power, our testimony is not a true witness of Jesus. Is anybody out there? But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, He empowers you so that your witness can be true. The Holy Spirit came upon the saints of old to use them to manifest the kingdom of God, to manifest His glory, to manifest His presence. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, and when He went out, power was present. Now He tells His disciples that before you go out and think you can do anything, you must wait in Jerusalem. You must wait. Why? Because you need power. Your witness won't be true. Your witness won't be accurate without the power of God. But once you've been empowered, your witness will be the same witness as His witness. You will witness of Him the way that He truly was. But you have to have His power. You see, the Holy Spirit's not only in you for you. He's in you for others. When His power is present, families are changed. When His power is present, deliverance is present. When His power is present, lives are transformed. People are healed. That's the true witness of Jesus. That's the true witness of the Spirit of God. Are you with me, guys? So what happened when the disciples waited? Let's go to Acts 2, verse number 1. Acts 2, verse number 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, the disciples were all waiting. They were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon. Everybody say upon. You see, the Holy Spirit came and sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Listen, I don't want to talk about the tongues this morning. I want you to see that when the Spirit came upon them, everything changed. When the Spirit came upon them, their ministries began. In fact, let's go to Acts 4, verse 33. Acts 4, verse 33. It says, and with great power, everyone say power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Why were they able to give witness of the resurrection? Because the Holy Spirit had come upon them. He was not only in them, but now He was upon them, and they were able to witness with great power. That is what is supposed to happen in the life of every single believer. It's supposed to happen in every one of our lives. We are not called to only have the Holy Spirit lead us, guide us, change us, and be our friend. As much as that is absolutely wonderful. And the truth is if you do that, that's when you'll see His power manifest like never before. But there is also the Holy Spirit coming upon you, which clearly is a different event. Now, I'm not saying God can't do it all at once. Of course He can. He can do whatever He wants. But the pattern in Scripture is clear. That's how it happened in the Old Testament. That's how it happened with Jesus. That's how it happened with the apostles. In fact, the Bible tells us with Paul, it's amazing. Because with Paul, Paul has an encounter with the Lord. And the Bible tells us that he was blind. Yes, he was changed, radically changed. But he was blind. And it's interesting because while Paul is busy waiting in hiding, pretty much not able to see, not able to eat, not able to drink, the Lord speaks to Ananias and says to him, I want you to go to Paul. And when Ananias goes to Paul, he lays his hands on Paul, and the Spirit of God comes upon him, and only then did his eyes open. And he got up and literally changed the world. He was filled with the Spirit. changed by the Spirit, led by the Spirit. The Bible tells us in Matthew 16, can you put the verse up for me, please? It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. The truth is that if you study the lives of the disciples and the saints that followed after, that wanted to be used by God, they all had to pick up their cross. You see, as a follower of Jesus, we have this desire that the Holy Spirit will come and speak to us, that we'll be able to have relationship with God, that we'll be able to have fellowship with Him and see Him begin to change us. And then we want to see His power manifest in our lives. But the truth is that Jesus told His disciples, listen, if you want to truly be a disciple, you are going to have to pick up your cross. The interesting thing about this statement that Jesus tells His disciples is that He tells this to him a long time before He goes to the cross. In other words, He knew that the road that was ahead of a true believer would be one that would require sacrifice. Last night I taught on the fire of God, because the Bible says, John the Baptist said this, he said that there is one who comes after me, whose sandals I am not worthy to tie, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there's a fire and a passion that comes on you that is unexplainable. But what happens to believers is that they lose their fire. They lose their passion. And when you study Scripture, you'll find out that many times that happens because of a hardened heart or because of unbelief. And the only way back to the fire, the only way back to the presence of God, relationship with God, and being used by God, is to once again build an altar in your life. You have to pick up your cross. You cannot have the world and walk with God. And I'm not talking about insy weensy teeny weeny polka dot bikini Christianity. I'm talking about authority, power, relationship with God, where you speak to mountains and they move. I'm talking about Christians that have been called to walk in His love and in His power in the most profound way. But it will cost you something. You can't have both. The prophet Elijah said to the children of Israel, whose God do you serve? Do you serve Baal or do you serve the God of Israel? And the Bible says they answered not a word. And the reason why they answered not a word was because they wanted both. The Bible says that those who are led by the Spirit are not under the law. You will always struggle as a Christian because you will always be torn until you surrender to God. And when you fully surrender to Him and say, Lord, here I am, that doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. But don't worry, the blood of Jesus is there to take away your sin. It's not perfection, it's a yielded heart that He's looking for. If He wanted perfection, David would not have been a man after God's heart. But the reason why David was a man after God's heart was because he was a surrendered vessel. He was someone that loved the Lord, surrendered to God, and when he messed up, he cried out to God with a heart of repentance, saying, I know I've made wrong, but I always choose you, Lord. And so in the story of Elijah, he begins to build an altar and put a sacrifice on the altar. And then he stands back and he cries out to God and says, Lord, I have done according to your word. And God sends a fire down from heaven to consume that sacrifice. That sacrifice is you. That sacrifice is me. God wants to use you. He wants to use your life. You have a choice. Not only are we so blessed, so fortunate because we have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us, but we have the privilege of being able to be used by Him as well. And what a privilege it is when God begins to use you. And all you have to do, well, what do I have to do, Pastor Alex? Surrender. All you have to do is surrender. Surrender. When the fire fell from heaven on the altar with Elijah, the Bible says the children of Israel fell on their faces and they began to cry out and say, "He is the only God." They cried out and gave thanks to the Lord because He is the only God. Listen, guys, if you want to see His power manifest in your life, if you want to see the presence and the power of God work in and through your life, it's going to require you to surrender to Him and choose Him over everything else. Surrender.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.